We rejoice and thank you for who you are. You're our life. You're our health. You're our strength. Oh, God, you are everything to us. It's in you that we live, we move, and we have our being. Father, we don't ever want to get to the place where we forget about you, that we stop serving you. But, Father, that we'll always, always look to you and always bow down to you. Oh, Father, we just rejoice and we thank you for the opportunity for us to come here today and to be able to worship and to be able to minister your word and to receive today in Jesus' name. And I thank you that today you think through my thoughts, speak through my lips by your spirit, and that I have utterance to speak forth boldly and accurately in the name of Jesus. Be magnified, be glorified. Touch right now in Jesus' name. We believe if someone have any kind of infirmity in their body, that the same power that was present when Jesus ministered here on this earth is present here today in Jesus' name. And we just serve notice right now, every disease germ, every virus in Jesus' name must die right now in the name of Jesus in the presence of the Lord in Jesus' name. And so from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, we decree and declare right now the healing power of God working in your body right now and in all your joints, even now, in Jesus' name. I even speak to stomachs right now in Jesus' name. Anyone having any issues with their stomach, right now lay your hands on your stomach. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed in Jesus' name. We command any discomfort to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you that it is by the stripes of Jesus that we are the healed of the Lord. And we rejoice and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Today, as I minister the word, I was praying in the Holy Spirit, and which is a great thing to do before you're going to minister. Or even if you're going to be meeting with people or whatever, a good thing to do is pray in the Holy Spirit first. I don't care how well educated you are. There are some things that we always miss if we don't connect our tongue to our heart or to your spirit. And see, there are things that come out. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, there are things that will not come out. You do everything from your head, And many times you will find out that you really didn't hit the target. But God wants us to hit the target every time. Look at somebody say, God wants us to hit the target every time. Amen. So we have to make sure that we stay connected where these things are concerned, and that we take advantage of what we have. The Holy Spirit is living in us for a reason. And he and I believe, just like they talk about our smartphones, they said most people only use about 20% of their capacity. So in other words, there's 80% that's not used of what your phone can do. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we only use 20% or even less of the capacity that we have. And he's the most intelligent being in the universe. Oh, my God. And we're sitting at the feet listening to everybody else, spending thousands of dollars going to talk to them, listening to them. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll give it to you for free if I can just get your attention. Oh, my God. Hear this. But anyway, I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit and about the service. And as I was praying in the Holy Spirit, this thought, this title just kind of rolled up on my inside. And just simply called, Don't Forget. Don't Forget. Can somebody say, don't forget? Don't forget. And I looked up the word forget. Forget means to fail to remember. It also means to inadvertently neglect to attend to or mention something. For the word forget also means to put out of one's mind, to cease to think of or consider. And we're reading our verse today for the offering from the book of Deuteronomy, that scripture just kind of stood out to me again today, verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. The scripture says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Beware that you do not forget them. In other words, if God said don't forget it, it's possible for us to forget it. Because we can become so entangled with life. And we all have to live life, but it's how you manage it that makes a difference. And if you want to be cognizant of something, then you have to do it on purpose. Because otherwise, there's so much other stuff going on to distract you and to pull you away from your purpose, from your destiny. And so we have to be focused more so now than ever. Even with all the stuff that's going on in the world, hear this, we can be focused. Look at somebody and say, you can be focused. You don't have to forget. Amen. But hear this, we don't have to forget, but we have to make a decision that we're going to remember. And we have to give our attention to certain things. You know, all the stuff that's going on in the world that some people could stand up and fill us in on all the current events that are going on in the world today. And the reason that is because they give their attention to that. But yet, if you ask them to quote such and such scripture, they say, I don't recall that. Well, the reason you don't recall is because you don't give your attention to it. One of the things my wife tells me, she said, I'm amazed by the number of scriptures that you can quote. And she said, you don't really have to think about it. It just rolls out of you. I said, well, that's because I give my attention to that. But I also let her know I'm amazed by how many drugs you remember. She got over 10,000 drugs in her mind that she remembers because she's a pharmacist. And she don't have to think twice about it. I'm like, how do you pronounce this? And it just rolls right out of her. And I try to say it about 5 or 6 times. I say, oh, just forget it, you know. But anyway, we have to make a decision that we're going to remember. And God tells us again here in Deuteronomy verse chapter 8, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Now, we do know that the people that this was written to, that they did forget the Lord, and they began to do their own things. Amen. They began to go their own way. And, of course, everything God said that would happen, happened where they were concerned. Here, as we continue to look at this, I'm pulling up some scriptures on do not forget, what the word says not to forget. First of all, it says here in Deuteronomy 8:11, do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and his statutes. And then hear this. When God said don't forget something, he's holding us responsible. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, whatever you have to do to remember, then do it. If you record it on your smartphone, if you go back and just write down the scriptures and go back over them later during your quiet time, whatever you need to do, you need to do it to make sure that you don't forget. Because there's enough stuff going on in the world that will pull you away from what God told you not to forget. Number two, the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. I'll just read this to you. This is the World English Bible. It says, let brotherly love continue. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For in doing so, some have entertained strangers without knowing it. So a second thing is, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. You know, there are people that come into your life, and you've never met them before. They come into your life, and you know, you have to be careful how you treat people. Sometimes we kind of size them up, you know, and in sizing them up, sometimes we hit it, and sometimes we miss it. But the thing is, we need to treat everybody the way they need to be treated. Amen. The way Jesus would do it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 through 17, the scripture says, through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, which make confession to his name. Verse 16, but don't forget to be doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Don't forget to be doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Notice, these are things that we become responsible for. Amen. You know, once you gain the knowledge of something, When we stand before the Lord, the Lord's going to say, now, on October the 25th, 2015, Pastor Clyde preached this message on Don't Forget. Now, you forgot this, 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 and this. And he told you how many times? Don't forget. Y'all don't believe the Lord going to do that? He will. Amen. You know, that. Hear this. When it's all said and done, you know, there's going to be a catching away of the church. There's going to be a catching away. That's not the second coming. But the Lord can come. He can gather us. There's going to be a catching away. Now, hear this. There are going to be crowns that people get. Everybody's not going to get the same crown. Because everybody is not as committed to do what he said do. Amen. Now, we have to become responsible, and I want to get all the crowns. I'll tell you, if there's a crown available, I want it. Amen. I believe every red-blooded American ought to want every crown. They want everything else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Another don't forget. Don't forget my teaching. Of course, this is Solomon in talking to us. And it's a good thing to go through the book of Proverbs every day and just read a proverb that day, whatever the day is. Just read that proverb that day. And take time to go through and dig out some things. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you, to you. Don't just read it just to read it. Rush through it. Slow down. You know, it's kind of like going through a housing development. You like the houses. You don't rush through there. You just kind of slow down 25 miles per hour. Speed limit may be 55, but you're slowing down. Why? Because you want to take notice and see. Hey, I'm sure when you do that, I've discovered things have a tendency to catch my attention more when I slow down. I take in more when I slow down. Amen. Psalms 103. This is a great one. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. This is from the World English Bible. It says, praise Yahweh, my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise Yahweh, my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. Here, something else we shouldn't forget. Don't forget all his benefits. And then here are some of them. He enumerates some of them. Who forgives all your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your desires with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now he said, don't forget these things. Sometimes we submit ourselves to things as though we don't even have a God in our life. Sometimes we act like we hadn't even met the Lord. Our first thought when things come, is it for him? Is it to remind ourselves of what he said to us? What he's done for us? Or is the first thing that comes to our mind? Like, I don't know what it is to have a headache now. I don't know. It's been years since I had a headache. I mean, years. If you want an aspirin for me, you can't. I don't have any. Not a sin to have aspirin, okay? But it don't need me carrying if I don't need them. If I even sensed there was one coming, I'll go right back to the scriptures. My first thought is not just to know the scripture. My first thought is to think scripturally. There are a lot of people know all the scriptures. Oh, they can quote. I saw somebody the other day, one of the young men from a local church. He quoted the entire 119th Psalm. Quoted the whole thing. Man, I'll tell you, what is it, 176 verses in there or something in that neighborhood? He recorded all 176, a teenager. Now, that is admirable. But it's not enough just to be able to quote it. You got to remember it during your time of need, because the word of God is a sword. It's a weapon. Amen. And we have to use it during the time that it's necessary. And guess what? The word works for those who work it. Amen. Not those that know it, but those that work it. There are a lot of people that know it, but you try to tell them what the word says. Yeah, I know it. No, I know it says that. I know it says that. Yeah, it said, but the word of God said, yeah, I know it says that, but I feel this, but I feel that, but this is happening, but that is happening. Well, why are you quoting these scriptures then? The word is to be activated during the time of crisis. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God, the scripture tells us, the word is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. Somebody said, how am I supposed to walk? As we discover what's in God's word, I'm telling you, we become enlightened so that we can know exactly how to walk, know exactly what to do, know exactly what to say, know exactly how to treat other people. And we just do it. It's not enough just to come and hear the word and then don't act on any of it. Hear this. It's not enough to come and hear the word and then go away from him and act like you don't go to Maranatha Christian Center, treating people any old kind of way, talking to folks any old kind of way. Y'all know better than that. I teach you better than that. I model better than that. Amen. See, sometimes I don't get pats on the shoulder, but I pat myself. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 through 4 says, this is from the Message Bible. It says, pray diligently, stay alert, with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Then Paul says, don't forget to pray for us. Don't forget to pray for us, that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I'm locked up in jail. Now, this guy's, he's writing to the church at Colossae, even while he's incarcerated, to saying, pray for us that we will continue to be able to have utterance to speak to those that we encounter. I hope y'all pray for me. Thank you for that, amen. It was mighty lonely, but I thought it was going to get a roar of amen. But thank you for praying for me. Amen. I want to say, just like the Apostle Paul, don't forget to pray for us. Amen. And oftentimes we want supernatural things to happen. We don't even pray for the ones that's supposed to be doing it. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2 from the Message Bible. Moses reminds the children of Israel. He said, don't forget that you were once a slave in Egypt. Sometimes we forget where we come from. Amen. Sometimes we've been saved so long, we forgot that we used to be sinners. And we act like we've always been saints. And when we act like we've always been saints, we don't have no compassion on those that are still sinners. Huh? Oh, my. Everybody is not, they're not where we are. I mean, you realize there are some people, there are people being born every day. Everybody haven't heard what you've heard. And so there must be compassion that flows from us in dealing with other people. The last one I'm going to touch on today for don't forget is James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 from the New Living Translation. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Did you catch that? If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. How many like the blessings of the Lord on your life? Amen. The scripture said God will bless you for doing it. Oh, my God. He will bless you for doing it. He will bless us for doing it. As I said earlier, as I was praying about the service, the title of this message came to me, Don't Forget. And I just added to it, Don't Forget Where You Come From. I began to think about where we have come to in life and how God has blessed us and kept his word to us. I remember when I was a child, when I went to special events put on by others from a church that I did not attend. I also remember others taking us to church. You've heard me say it before. I hadn't said it in a while. But my father, every time he got a car, he always found a tree and hid it. So we did a lot of walking, or we had to catch rides. And but my mom, she, because we were without a car, she got rid of her pride, and she would ask people to give us a ride. And it wasn't like, you know, a couple of us. I mean, I'm the oldest of seven. So when you give a family of eight a ride, yeah, so maybe a couple of vehicles. Y'all going? My mom would call around and ask, y'all going here? Y'all going there? Can we get a ride with you or whatever? I remember others taking us to places. I remember going to church out of town. Matter of fact, the church that we attended growing up was a church that was actually 50 miles away. And the reason it was 50 miles away was because I remember, matter of fact, this month, October, in 1963, I was 5 years old. I remember there was a man that came through town on his way somewhere else, just happened to stop at the, we would call it today, a convenience store, you know, family-owned store. And he just happened to be a pastor. And he began to talk to the store owner and asked about churches in the area, Spirit-filled churches. And they said, there are none around here. Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist will be when we dead. Now, he said, well, this is a great place to start a church. And lo and behold, my grandfather, somehow or another, he got wind of it. The store owner talked to my grandfather. And then a meeting started. Well, that particular church was 50-some miles away. And we never built a church where we were locally. So we would drive there. And that was the same church that I preached my first message at when I was 16. And I preached everything I knew in 10 minutes. And as I said, those days are gone forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just remembering these things. I remember when we went to the church 50-some miles away, I remember others providing a meal for us after church when we were out of town. You know, and the people that provided meals for us, they weren't wealthy, but they shared what they had. Everybody kind of gathered together and made sure that there was more than enough. When we came here to the school, as we're in the midst of the move and everything, I recall one conversation with someone here at the school when Rusty and I brought some sound equipment over here for Sunday setup. I spoke with a grandmother and a daughter and told them we would be having church in the school on Sundays. The grandmother mentioned that they lived off of US 1, north of Post Road, across from the marina. And they said, well, if we came to church, we'd have to walk because we don't have a vehicle. And, of course, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's started me on a journey of going back and thinking. Because, you know, when you got two or three, four vehicles at your driveway, it's real easy to forget that you used to walk, that you used to put that thumb out. Sometimes people stopped, sometimes they didn't. But you always appreciated when they did. Even if they were smoking in the car and you didn't smoke, you could deal with that for a few minutes. And then after returning from Nigeria, I was in Walmart this week and stopped to get some bottled water. I noticed a brand called Fiji Water. Any of you ever heard of Fiji Water? Well, I'm there. I'm looking at the water. I'm looking at the price. They had a reduced price up there, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, I like to take advantage of sales. And I think retail is for Gentiles, and I'm a Jew. I'm always looking for discounts. And so while I'm standing there, a lady stopped and was looking in the bottle section, water section also. I asked if she had ever had the Fiji water before, and for the next few minutes, we talked about water. She said that she had that water before. However, it was too expensive for her, so she used tap water. She said somebody had told her about the how good the Melbourne water, city water is. And so that's what she used. And I said, are you Filipino? She said, no, I'm from Thailand. And she let me know that her husband, who had been in the military, he's already deceased. And so eventually I asked her, I said, where she attended church. I told her I was a pastor, and she said she doesn't. And she's looking for a church. How many people do you know that are looking for churches? You ever get that response? Oh, we're looking for a church. I mean, there are a whole lot of churches around. I'm like, now, how hard are you really looking? But, you know, I don't tell them that, you know. But they're looking for a church. And as I was praying about this encounter, two thoughts came to my mind. First of all, this last lady, she told me she lives off of U.S. 1, north of Post Road, in the trailer park there on the west side of the west side of US 1 going north. And two thoughts came to mind as I was praying about these conversations. Number one was to reach out to the trailer park off of US 1 just north of Post Road. For some reason, as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I sense there are some people there that the Lord want us to get out of there or to go minister to. So that's number one. And then secondly, a thought came to my mind as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. A thought came to my mind to speak to the Sherwood Elementary School principal about our church adopting this school to pray for them, for the faculty, for the students, and to speak to her about that. So I will look for an appointment to make that happen. There are some things that God left in the hands of the church and no one else. Schools today have more resource officers and policemen than ever before. When I was growing up attending school, we had no policemen in school. We had a switch or a paddle. Yeah, and they could use it. Now they have a policeman in the school with a gun, and he can use it. And there are a lot of things that happen in the schools today that I believe the church can stop a lot of stuff that's going on. It's time for the church to take its place and exercise its authority while schools are concerned, rather than leaving it to the resource officers or policemen. As we pray, the Holy Spirit can show us specific areas to pray for and also to thwart attempts of the devil to bring attacks in the schools. We have the Holy Spirit. He lives on our inside. One of the things Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will do, he will show you things to come. We thank God for the policemen, the resource officers and all. But unless they spirit-filled, they may not pick up on some things. You hear what I'm saying? All these things that have been going on in the schools, they've had policemen there, but somehow or another, they didn't quite get to stop it. Holy Spirit can show you exactly who is thinking about what and tell you what they're going to wear on a certain day, that they're looking to do certain things. And the church need to be involved in the schools. Amen. The world does its best, does the best it knows how to do in many cases. However, as we have seen, they fall short in many areas, such as spiritual warfare. Such as spiritual warfare. And somehow or another, people have come to expect things to happen because they don't know how to deal with it. The colleges, and they're telling the faculty, you come to school with, you can arm yourself because you got to protect yourself. Even churches nowadays got all the deacons packing. You don't want to run up in some church and act up. Such as just happened in Detroit just last month. This guy ran up in the church with a brick in his hand and was coming at the pastor. The pastor pulled out his revolver and fired 4 or 5 shots and left, dropping right there before the service. Spiritual warfare. Hear this. Guns are not to replace the Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with having guns. We need guns. But hear this. There are some things that we can do to make sure that the devil doesn't get a foothold. And we can't back up on our praying just because we moved over here to have services and we don't have a permanent facility to pray anymore. We still have to take it to another level. But I felt like the Lord was saying, don't forget where you come from, and don't forget to reach back and pull others up. Pull others out. And so we have a responsibility. Amen. And so I don't know how all this is going to happen. I know God put ideas within you guys as well. But the reaching out to the trailer park, to reach out to them, in whatever ways we want to reach out to them, to minister to them in whatever way, whatever capacity, many different ways you can do things. And because I believe there are souls that are there that God wants to take to another level. Amen. And so here we are. We want the church to grow. Well, how is it going to grow if we don't go? Somebody said, we'll just pray amen. Well, it hadn't worked yet. The Bible said, go into the highways, into the hedges, and compel men to come in. So we have a part to play. And we have to go. And we have to talk to people and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to move. Amen. Pastor Mary and I, we were at a meeting Friday night. Pastor Murthy, you remember him, he's come over here before for our camp meetings and our faith meeting. They're celebrating his 32nd church anniversary. Well, the gentleman that they had speaking there, he shares how his son, you know, a bit unorthodox, you know, sometimes we do too much praying rather than just doing. He said, I'm tired of just having church. He said, people go to church all the time and nobody change. And he said that his son encountered a person with a baby that had just come down sick. And he said his son, he asked his son, said, so what did you do? He said, I grabbed that baby by the head. He said, man, you don't be grabbing no babies by no head. He said, I grabbed the baby by the head, and I said, be healed. And the baby got healed. He said, he asked his son, said, you mean you didn't take 3 minutes to pray for him? He said, no. He just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And the baby was healed. And the mother was like, oh, my God. I'm like, instantly. Sometimes we're praying about the healing. That's because we don't quite believe it ourselves, you know. We're trying to get our faith up through our praying, pulling up a few scriptures and everything. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, my. Now, hear this. That ain't said go pray in the Holy Spirit for 20 minutes first. It just say lay hands on those that have infirmities in the name of Jesus. Now, hear this. It's not our job to heal them. It's our job to lay hands on them in Jesus' name, and his job to do the healing. But he's not going to do the healing if we don't lay our hands on them. And many are not going to get healed because we stand there praying and praying and praying. I mean, we can cut our prayer time down a lot when it comes to situations like that if we just do what the book said do. And the other scripture said, these signs shall follow. But we got to be laying hands on in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sometimes somebody says, well, suppose it don't work. Suppose it does. You don't want to just have to lay hands on it. Notice the scripture said, they shall recover. The scripture did not say it shall be healed immediately. It could happen immediately, but notice it said they shall recover. Recover sometimes is a process. And many times the devil talk us out of laying hands on because it doesn't happen in 15 minutes. Well, we get discouraged ourselves. Just go back to what God said. You don't have to back God's word up. He does. They say, Lord, I just did exactly what you said. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. This person is recovering. Somebody said, well, it looked like they just got worse. Don't go by that. Don't go by that. You just make sure you're obedient to what he said. That's his job to finish the rest. Amen. Oh, glory to God. So let's not forget where we come from. And let's begin to do some things, to turn some things around, whereby we have more people coming in, where we're touching more lives. I mean, we're touching lives out there. There are going to be some people going to be following you. Amen. Now hear this. They're not just following me. They follow you. I said, well, the pastor ain't gone out and the pastor ain't did this. Sheep beget sheep. I'm a shepherd. Amen. But we have to be obedient. And part of that being obedient is not forgetting where we come from. Amen.